Greetings from Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is Sunday, July 21, 2019, and you're listening to our morning worship. Our sermon is from our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, and it's entitled, Just How Good Am I at Following? Part 1. So thanks for listening, and we know you'll be blessed by the preaching of God's Word.
In a dry and weary land, Lord, you are the rain. In a sea of shattered ones, your love comes rushing in. You hold in your hands, you see each tear that falls through every fire and every storm. You're always enough, always enough. Your love is peace to the broken, faith for the widow, hope for the orphan, strength for the weak. Your love is the anthem of nations, rings out through the ages, and you're always enough for me. Heart in perfect peace, my life is in your hands. When confusion finds my way, you're always enough, always enough. I rejoice for my Savior reigns. I rejoice for He lives in me. God on high, He has set me free, and worthy is the Lord. Your love is peace to the broken, faith for the widow, hope for the orphan, strength for the weak. Your love is the anthem of nations, rings out through the ages, and you're always enough, always enough. You're always enough for me.
We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 15. If you want to turn over there, we'll do our reading in just a minute. Before we do that, I just got a little opening illustration to kind of help you understand the message today. Here's Tim, the janitor, coming down here, so I appreciate that. Thank you, Brother Tim. What a nice guy. New job description for you. Probably a better one, but anyways. In case you're not aware of this, as we open today, and I know if you're listening on the internet, you can't see it, but this is a janitor's cart. It's a complete janitor's cart with everything you need to clean the church. And so I just want to kind of show you something here real quick, and I'm going to pretend like I'm the pastor of the church. Amen. I thought that's a role I could actually do okay. So anyways, and I've come and I've given a command to the janitor to clean the church. And in cleaning the church, I also made it specific that there's some very key areas in the church that need to be cleaned, particularly the restrooms. Amen? Make sure you clean the restrooms. And number two, in the particulars, is all the trash cans need to be emptied before every single service and right away, because if not, it's not pretty. And so the instructions have been given. I've explained to them. They've been hired. Here you go. And now I'm just going to come in and I'm asking them about how they have done. Everybody with me so far? So I just asked, "So, sir, how have you done?" And I'm now John the janitor. And I'm like, "Man, I'm telling you, I did exactly as you said. Matter of fact, I went above me. This whole church is clean. Man, I did good. I even took time to detail the cart. I mean, I got all my supplies here. I wiped it down." And literally I did right before service. Anyways, and I wiped it down. It's clean. It's organized. This baby shines. It rolls so smooth. I mean, this baby is good. If you open up the side, I got toilet paper and paper towels. I got dirty rags. Look, I've been cleaning. There's a dirty rag. Everything is in place. I've gone through. Matter of fact, I went behind the doors. I took out the vacuum and vacuumed the crevices behind the doors. And then, wait. I got a ladder out, and I dusted all everything that's up high, all the door sills, all the picture frames were dusted. I did all the dusting. I've done everything you've asked. And then me as pastor, I go, "Well, are you sure you've done everything?" "Oh, sure, I performed every duty you've asked." "Well, I'm just wondering, because when I came in the back door and I went to get a cup of coffee, I smelled like it was a really bad odor in the kitchen, and I was like, wow, something was just like hitting me as I walked in." And so I walked over and I'm looking around and I went to a trash can and it's like 75% full. And I know it was a youth activity like on Friday and it's like someone forgot to take out the trash. And so I was just wondering because, well, anyways, the trash wasn't empty. And John the janitor would say, "No, I'm telling you, I don't know how that happened. I mean, surely it was the youth director's fault. You know, it's got to be those guys. But I'm telling you, I cleaned the church on Saturday. I did everything on Saturday. I'm not sure how that happened, but it's got to be someone's fault." I'm like, okay. Well, then, though, I was kind of coming up front and had to use the restroom. And when I walked in again, I was like, whoa, just kind of taken back just a little bit. And I mean, the odor was just, I don't know, it wasn't real good. And I remember going to one of the stalls and it was out of toilet paper. And I found paper kind of on the floor. And when I went to wash my hands, the trash can was, I mean, there was a lot there and the windows weren't cleaned. And I'm just saying that one of the primary things wasn't done. I mean, the men's restroom wasn't clean. And then I decided to inspect some more, and I went down to the nursery area and didn't get very far. Do you know why you want to empty the nursery trash cans right away? Yeah, and so I could kind of tell. I'm just saying, man, I so appreciate you dusting a pie and getting behind the doors, but you didn't clean the restrooms and you didn't take out the trash. When you took the job, you remember the two things I asked you to do? To make sure they're always done? Well, yeah, but I've done everything. I've done it very well. And look, I've got a clean cart. The thing's amazing. Yeah, but you didn't clean the restrooms. And you didn't take out the trash. So it really doesn't matter what you've done. You didn't do what you were told to do. Can I tell you in 1 Samuel 15, we're about to see a story that's exactly like that. And it's a story that probably resonates in our lives more than we'd like to admit. Would you stand with me as we look at 1 Samuel chapter 15? And if you get bored, if you want to clean the church, we have some things available. In 1 Samuel 15, we have a man by the name of Saul who has started down a really rocky road. And in this one, he really blatantly reveals where he's at. Now, I want you to follow along for the message. It'll be part A this morning, part B tonight. Both are very significant and important, and I think a critical time in Christianity today. If we look at verse 1, the Bible says, "And Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord." So the prophet Samuel shows up to Saul and says, "Listen, I've got a message from God. Now listen clearly." Verse 2, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid in wait for him in the way, and when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not." Now look at the detail. "But slay both man and woman." I mean, if you don't get utterly destroyed, he goes, let me listen for you. "Slay both man, woman, infant, and suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass." In other words, when I say utterly, I mean everything that's there. So Saul gathered the people together, numbered them, and Telaim, 200,000 footmen, 10,000 men of Judah. Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuge, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. When Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed be the name of the Lord. And so in other words, here comes the prophet Samuel. He meets Saul, first thing out of his mouth, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee to a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? Look at verse 20. And Saul said to Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil and the sheep and the oxen, the chief things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? A very famous scripture. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and that he hath also rejected thee from being king. Lord, we come to you now. Lord, we are reminded of this great passage in detail. You tell us some of the words that were said. Not everything, Lord, but some of the conversation between Samuel and Saul. You make clear what you had required, Lord. You make clear what took place. And Lord, I pray today as we look at this story, then apply it to our lives, Lord, that we would judge ourselves accordingly. That, Lord, we would see if there be any deception and disobedience in our own lives, Lord. That we are maybe saying with our mouth that we are following you, and maybe even thanking strongly that we are, Lord. And yet, Lord, when we measure our lives according to Scripture, we find ourselves wanting and lacking. Lord, help us, I pray, to be right with you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Powerful story as you look at this. I've always been amazed at this story. Saul is not a young man. Saul's a man, he's king. You look at this and you see what's taking place, and you see the story as it begins to unfold. And it's pretty clear. I won't rehash everything. But you see at the beginning, there's a very clear instruction from the man of God. Now wait a minute. From the prophet, the first prophet, Samuel. The man that God has said, listen, whatever you say will come to pass. The man that the whole nation of Israel, early in the chapter, as we studied, said, this is a man of God. This speaks the word of God. The man who showed up didn't say, hey, these are my words. This is what I think. This is what I, no, wait a minute. This is what I would like. No. He says, this is the word of the Lord. And he tells him, I want you to go destroy. And he even told him why. He didn't give all the reasons. But Amalek had done this unto the Israelites and this unto God. And now it's time for their judgment. And God says, I'm going to remove them. I'm going to destroy them. And this is how I want you to do it. Everything. I mean, from the king to the kids to the animals. I don't want anything alive. I'm sending a message to these nations that want to rebel against me. I've got a plan for this, and you're going to be the one to do it. Very clear. So they do it. They gather them in. They go to war. They fight. But when we get down to the middle, we find out they don't fully obey. No, they keep the king Agag. Well, why did they do that? Well, remember, they wanted to be like all the other nations earlier on. Well, that's what all the other nations did. You always kept the king as a trophy. As your trophy. You know, so you kept the king. You said, hey, here we go. Here's our king. We got him. And you'd parade that king through the camp. You'd parade that king anywhere you went and say, hey, this is our trophy. We defeated this nation, this group. Well, that's fine, except for one thing. God said to kill him. It doesn't matter what everybody else was doing. God had a plan. Now, listen, this is one of those passages. We're not here this morning to debate, you know, what God said and why he said it. So you don't want even your mind to be there. That's not the point right now. The fact of the matter is, the point is God said it. Our job, are you ready, is to obey it. I think it's one of the things I like about this passage. It's a very difficult thing to be giving a command to this degree, but you know who it came from. You know why it came from. And God says, listen, it doesn't matter if you agree or not. I want you to follow it. Well, let me help you. They didn't agree. How do you know? Well, because they kept Agag. And then the Bible says they kept the best. Look down at verse 9. And I love this. The Bible says, not verse 9. Yeah, it is verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep. Now look at this. And of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs. And all that was good would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuge, that they destroyed. Now wait a minute. Who made that decision? See, they looked and said, hey, no, this is good. This is a good lamb, good oxen. There's no spot, no blemish. This is good. This would be good for eating. Oh, wait, sacrificing to God. You ought to sacrifice to God. We're going to give this to God and sacrifice for this great victory. So we've looked, we've decided this is good. Don't miss this. We've decided. But that which is vile and refuge, can I help you real quick? God called all of them vile and refuge. No, don't miss this. God had already given the command. All this nation should be wiped out, which means what? That is his command. I have placed his judgment upon them. I see them as wicked and evil with no recourse of recovering. And because of what they've done, I am judging them. We have no right to say, but. You see, what they were doing is they were correcting God. They're rebelling against God. Oh, they did most of it. Oh, they did most of it. Man, they did a lot of it. But they kept the king and they kept the best to sacrifice to find later on unto the Lord our God. What a nice, pious thing to do. Amen. You know, there's a lot of things done in the name of God that are not correct. There's a lot of things done we attach God's name to, and God has nothing to do with it. And we see here Saul, and man, he's so excited. He's done this. As a matter of fact, if you remember, even when Samuel showed up in verse 13, one of the verses that amazed me, and Samuel came to Saul, and as soon as he shows up, Saul blurts out, blessed is the Lord. And he says this, I have performed. Don't miss this. I've done it. I did exactly what God said. I've completed it. And then in verse 20, when he's confronted that he had it, he says, I have obeyed. Now don't miss this. I fully believed that in his deception, Saul actually thought he was doing right. It's an amazing thing to think that you can be given evidence and put right in front of you and be so deceived that you think you're right when you're 100% wrong. You know, I'll watch like America's Funniest Home Videos, and whenever I want a good laugh, you'll put those on. And what I remember seeing recently, it's probably old, replayed all the time, but if you saw the one with little kid that got in mom's makeup, if I remember right, it was a lipstick. And I mean, it's on the wall, the dog, the face, he's eating half of it. I mean, it's all over the place. And dad's videotaping a mom, I can't remember which one now, but they're like, hey, did you get into my makeup? Okay. Well, did you get into mom's lipstick? I mean, he's holding it in his hand. It's all over. Okay. Are you sure you didn't get? I mean, they're going on. And they're, you know, elaborating. Of course, they're laughing and everything. And, you know, when you're 2 and 3, you're laughing about that until you have to clean up. Amen. But you know what's amazing to me? I mean, I get that out of a 2 or 3 year old. Even though, I mean, the evidence is right there. And everyone watching the video is laughing but saying, guilty. I mean, it's on the face. It's all over. You did it. There's no difference there. Saul standing before God, standing for the prophet. And he's saying, hey, what's this bleeding of the sheep that I hear? Didn't that tell you to wipe out everything? Well, yeah, but. Can I help you real quick? There's no yeah, buts when it comes to serving God. We are so deceived today, and the reason I brought this illustration is, we are so used to looking at what we have done good that we judge ourselves by our own measuring stick today. Well, preacher, I come to every service, and I read my Bible. I help people with situations. I do this. Well, wait a minute. That's wonderful to do a lot of Christian things, but can I remind you? God has given us some primary things to do. No, God has given us some things that he has said, no, this is important. Kind of like what I illustrated. I'm glad you cleaned the cart, and I'm glad you cleaned behind the door, and I'm glad you did all that. But the problem today is this, we've got way too much deception taking place. And people who think they're right with God and doing right are literally flowing past obvious things. And one of the things we're doing that is even more amazing to me is multiple times Saul says this, and even in verse 21, but the people took of the spoil. One of the ways you know you're deceived is this. You blame everyone else. It's wonderful to pastor and play for a long time. The negative is you can't use the illustrations. Seriously. If I could use illustrations in specific, it would be great because it's so clear. Comes home, I just have to use generalities. The good news is it's happened so many times that you don't know who it is. You can put multiple people in there, just to be quite honest with you. But I can't tell you the number of times I've brought families in and there's been a problem with a child or two or three or whatever the situation is. And finally gets to the point you have to bring mom and dad in and you're sitting there. And you're bringing the evidence. Whatever the evidence is. You're bringing testimonies. You're bringing witnesses. You're bringing leaders in going, yes, I witnessed, I saw, this is what happened. This is what they said. This is what they did. And you got mom and dad sitting there. And in a total amazement, you'll hear stuff out of their mouth. Well, I just don't believe that happened. I don't know what to say. No, sir, I'm always dumbfounded going, okay. Yep. Or something like that. Well, I just think everybody's against us. It's what we do for a living. We hate everyone as ministers. We hate your kids. We try to look fault in them. We try to destroy them. That's what we do. No, and I'm serious. And you're sitting there going, okay, so take that away. But here's what the Word of God says, and here's what they've done. No. And you can repeat this with schools today. And I pray for our school teachers. I feel so bad for you, but the same thing plays out in your life all the time. And you're calling and saying, Mom and Dad, would you come in for a meeting? And Johnny hasn't done his homework, and Johnny hasn't done this. And Mom and Dad say, well, that's because you're too mean to Johnny. No, it's because Johnny doesn't do his homework. Well, no, it's because you don't like Johnny. If you like Johnny, he's doing good in all the other classes. Yeah, but Johnny doesn't know math. And he's not, you see what I'm saying? We go through this, and you have this defense. And no matter how much evidence is coming across, whether it be from a school teacher or a pastor or other leaders are saying, here's the evidence. Like they don't hear a thing, they say, that's not true. I'm like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? How can we be so deceived? First of all, how are you so deceived that you don't think your kid's a sinner? That blows my mind today. As Christians, kids are evil. How do you not know that? I know we love them, but there's not good in them outside of Jesus. And when I hear stuff like, my kid would never do that, I just found the problem. And it's not your kid. No, I'm serious. It's not your kid. It's you. So sad that we would enable wickedness to take place. So number one, I see a deception that is mind-boggling to me. And as I illustrate and watch over and over, I've watched too many people fall in the same trap. When faced with a sermon, the Word of God, evidence, they're like, nope, everyone else is wrong. I am doing right. I am doing what is appropriate. I am following the command. I am on track. But everyone around you is saying, no, you're not. No, you're not. So we look at Psalms, I can't believe you did that. Deception is so strong today. Beware of deception. The Bible tells us in James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. 1 Timothy 4 tells us in the latter days, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that's a key word, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And one of the great evidences is this. We blame everybody but ourselves. Kids go, it's my parents. Adults, it's my parents. You know, that's wonderful. Our parents affect us, but at some time, it's time to grow up and take responsibility. Now, you bet your parents affect you. You bet your circumstances affect you. I don't debate that. I'm just saying there comes a line and a time. You can take that from a kid who's still at home. But there comes a time when you have to say, wait a second. I'm a Christian who claims to be part of the family of God. I've got the Word of God. At what time do I say, I take responsibility. One of the greatest things we'll do, I love, you know why David was so blessed of God? This is why. He blew it and he owned it. You know the difference between Saul and David? I'm going to help you real quick. We're going to get to David next week. When you blow it, you own it. God has great mercy on that. But there's not a lot of mercy for this. I didn't do it. It was somebody else, and it's not my fault. And it's the parents, it's the church, it's the youth director, it's everybody else in the world. It's my husband, it's my wife. No, it's you. It's you. It's me. And at some point, we got to stop and say, oh, God told me to do this, and I did a whole lot, but I didn't do that. We are deceived. Satan is so powerful. And the reason being is because we're not measuring ourselves by the Word of God. We're measuring ourselves by what everybody else thinks. So we go to our good friends and our buddies and, what do you think? What do you think? No offense. Doesn't matter what they think. What matters is, thus saith the Word of God. Well, that matters. But now the big one. The problem wasn't just deception. It was disobedience. In 1 Samuel 15:22, we read about, I want you to see these verses, it's so key. And Samuel said that the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Now don't miss this. Behold, to obey is better. That means greater, weightier than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. In the New Testament, Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, Jesus talking says this, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! If you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, truth, faith, these ought ye to have done. You ought to have paid your tithe of these minor little things, these little things that you benefit. You should have paid. God deserves that. But not to leave the other undone." I've noticed in Christianity, as I illustrate today, it's like we pick and choose what we want to do and we like to do it our way. And here's the problem with that. It's called disobedience. See, there are certain things in Christianity, and I get, we like to throw, well, no one's perfect, preacher. I got it. I was told early on when I became a preacher, don't commit the big sins. Because even preacher sin, I don't, may shock you if you need time to go through that. You know, we get angry, upset, all kinds of stuff. We're human. But so don't do the big ones. Don't steal money from the church. That's kind of dumb. No, seriously, he said, don't steal money. Don't have an affair. That's not real smart. No, seriously. I mean, there's some things that you don't want to do those things. Why? They call those the weightier things. So I love it. People say, well, preacher, all sins are alike. No, they're not. No, that's a whole nother lesson. I'm going to help you. No, they're not. No, they're not. Why? Because they have different consequences. No, they have huge different consequences. Oh, all sins are alike for God. All sins are sins before God. You betcha. But here on earth, sins have different consequences. There's some things I can do, and I'm not going to lose my job for it. I get angry and upset and come back and apologize. Probably not going to get fired. If I have an affair, you should get rid of me right away. Are you with me? Oh, it's very clear. We get that. We don't like to talk about stuff like that. But in other words, there's some weightier things. No, I'm serious. There's some things, if you ask your spouse, they would rather you do than something else. There's no debate about that. Well, there's nothing different about it. There's a huge difference about it. Just ask them. Ask them. So he says there's a weightier, and we in Christianity, we view ourselves, and we kind of set our own measuring stick. And we cross off. I go to church and I read my Bible and I pray over my meals and I love my spouse and I do good things. But that's good. But wait. The Bible's getting ready to give us one of the primary weightier matters in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, it's so strong, it's all the way throughout the Word of God. You say, what is it, preacher? Obey authority. Obey authority. You know, in Ephesians 6:1, the number one, if you look back in the Word of God and find out instructions for children, do you know the only instruction given to children? No, seriously. Outside of all the general, but if you got a specific, got a primary instruction for every young person over here, they have one primary thing to do. Are you ready? Obey their parents. I hate that sermon. I go to church, I don't miss a youth activity. I even worked in the fireworks stand. Cut my finger working there, but I did. I might help clean the church. I go on outreach, but I'm not listening to my mom and dad. Or we even break it up. I'll listen to dad, but not mom. Or I'll listen to mom and not dad. What's that called, preacher? Disobedience. No. You can't say that because I'm doing everything right. No, you're not. No. Don't you understand? I'm glad you come to church. I'm glad you pray. I'm glad you do all that. But God said, obey your parents. Ephesians 6:1, for this is right. He'll bless you and give you long life. And if you don't, you have just removed yourself from the number one command. And if you don't obey, you're not right with God. I didn't say you're not saved. I didn't say you didn't love God. That's not what I said. You can be saved and not right with God. No. You don't obey Dad, not right with God. You're under the judgment of God. Well, but that but means nothing. It is the most clear thing in the Word of God. And we're living in a generation of Christianity where the number one thing you should be teaching your children is one thing. Obey authority. What do I teach my kids? Need to read? It's good, so they can read the Bible. Need of character? Oh, well, yeah. Well, yeah. But how many disobedient young people do we have? And parents in deception thinking everything's fine, even though they rebel against almost every leader they run into. Their teachers, their preachers, their parents were like, but they're okay, because they're not on drugs and they're not in jail. So that's our criteria measuring stick now? When I look at the Word of God, last I checked, you wonder how your kids are doing? One primary thing you look at, do they obey? And if you're like, then that should be the number one thing you're working on. Yep, that's where we get a lot of amens, preacher. We want the kids to obey. Yep, Ephesians chapter 5. Let's move up the chart. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. This is always popular. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. Now, who said that? Now, here's the problem. We live in a sophisticated society. We have evolved. We now have rights for everybody. Women's movements, everybody's equal. Which means, of course, this book means nothing. Well, that's a man thing, saying that women should submit. Nope, it's a God thing. Never a popular topic. Usually gets really quiet in the church when we hit this one. Here's the problem. So we go, yeah, amen, preacher, tell our kids to obey. Well, how are they going to learn that? Oh, okay, let's move up the scale. Moms, you have two primary responsibilities in Scripture. Genesis 3, you're to be helpmeet to your husband, and you're to submit. I cook good. I got the cleanest house there is. I look good. I look good, clean good. I am good. What, do you help your husband? If I have time. Do you follow him? Most of the time. Most of my surveys, it's real easy to say I follow my husband when you agree. Most of the time we submit and we say, well, I agree with him, so you bet I submit. I don't think you understand. See, submission, obedience, takes place even when you don't. Go back to our story. They didn't agree with wiping everybody out. They didn't agree with killing everything good. And they showed it. I did most of it, but those are good lambs. Woo! Those are good oxen. Good for sacrificing. So we're just going to keep this part. You know how God's response was? It wasn't, thank you for doing almost everything. There wasn't a pattern. You did so good. No, there was that. Wait a minute. Primarily, I said, wipe everyone out. That's your job. But we kept some back. No. That's not good enough, God said. Matter of fact, because of this, the kingdom is gone from you. No, don't miss this. God said, because of this, judgment is here. Here's the thing you need to realize. Ladies, I get it. We'll talk about the men here in just a minute. But hang on. I see this all the time. Oh, years of this. You're inundated in American culture and you think that there's not an authority structure. Hebrews 13 says, and Romans 13 says this. Romans 13 says, obey all the rulers. This is a command of God. Hebrews 13 says, obey spiritual leaders. This is a command of God. Ephesians 6 says, in the home, it goes like this. Dad, mom, kids. That has always been taught in Christian churches. Always. That is not a new teaching. You go back and read any historical document. It's only changed recently because of feminist movements who say, I do not want to follow what God says. And let me tell you the damage of this. Well, I don't think he is leading our family right. I don't think he's disciplined right. And I think he yells at the kids too much or he does this. Let me tell you what's worse than that. Are you ready? Worse than that. I love my mom and dad. And I'm glad Dad saved and he's changed. But Dad was a Marine. And Dad's view of discipline was, if you're close, he swings and you get hit. I get, we don't do that today. And I get it. And I'm not saying that was good or right. Matter of fact, in this generation, he'd probably be in jail. I got it. We're not here. Seriously. I mean, if you came over, you'd be going. I mean, I'd get kicked, hit. And guess what? I survived. So here's the problem. You start talking about stuff like this. Mom's like, what if he's killing him? Use your brain and stop him. Are you with me real quick? We always like to take the extreme. What if he's got a baseball bat out and he's going to hit little Johnny? You should step in. You should pull out the taser and tase him. This isn't that hard. But we always go to the extreme to say, see, there's always a reason not to, preacher. No, that's called justification and rebellion because we want to have our own way. We get all those stories. But can I tell you, the majority of the time, here's how it works. Dad's making some rule, whatever it is, or yelling at the kids. And mom, you jump in the middle in front of the kids and correct. There's no way you can paint that a submission. And this is what you're not going to like. You did way more damage than whatever he was about to do. No. You're doing way more damage than those words. Well, words hurt. I'm going to help you real quick. Follow the Bible. Follow the Bible. What hurts worse is disunity in a home because people aren't properly following authority. And your kids pick up on that. So they get disobedient. Then they rebel against Almighty God and everybody else. And where did they learn it from? Oh. No, we don't like this teaching. I got you. Oh, it's not fun. We're not going to get a lot of likes on this one. No, I got you. But I'm going to tell you, this is a sweeping thing taking place that is damaging our homes. I mean, it is destroying our homes. And for years, I'm not talking about this year, I'm talking for years, I'm watching this get worse and worse. They did a panel of pastors, a pastor's fellowship in privacy, and said, who creates more problems in your church, men or women? Unanimously, every pastor to a T in private said, hands down, women. And the question was, why? Because they don't want to follow authority. Whether it's the pastor, their husband, and when they're confronted, they get mad and upset and leave and refuse to repent. Panel of pastors across the nation. I love our women. I believe you're saved. You love Jesus. No debate. We don't operate well without the women in our church. But can I tell you, if we're going to get excited about kids obeying, moms, you need to obey. You need to submit and follow your husband. Now, here's how this works. Behind the scenes, mom had colorful conversations with dad. Allow me to finish the story. Never knew that until I was older. Yep. But you know why we obey today? I believe we're in the church and all of us are serving God and we're where we need to be. We never saw a divided union from them. Dad wasn't always right. Sorry, Dad. He wasn't always right. No, not even close. But you know what would have been more damaging? Mom allowing us to pick sides. Because she steps in thinking you're helping the kids and you're deceived. You're doing way more damage because you're breaking a primary command in the Word of God. Wives, submit to your husbands. Obey them that have the rule over you. Prime, not secondary. Now, I'm telling you this because I love you. I want our homes to be successful. I did not say it was easy. I did not say it was fun, and neither did God. I'm just trying to show you something. It's biblical. Men. We're not done. I could go all day. Gentlemen. The Bible says you're the head of the home. We love that. Amen. Preacher. I'm in charge. Yeah, then how about you start being a spiritual leader and lead your family? Oh, wait. But he doesn't lead right. You still have to follow. Let's watch that one. We've dealt with that one a lot. There's no other word of God that says, if he doesn't lead right, I don't have to follow. That's not what the Bible says. It'll be difficult for you, but you better pray a lot. As long as he doesn't tell you to do something illegal or immoral, you're to follow. Just like your kids are to follow you when they don't like it. You're to follow them. And guess what? Dad, you're supposed to follow, are you ready? The Word of God and what the preacher's preaching. Hebrews 13:7, obey them that have the rule over you. One of the most damaging things you do, Dad, is this. Your family comes to church. Here's whoever's preaching around this pulpit. Open up the Word of God and preach. And you ignore it. You ignore it. Hey, well, I'm not immoral and I don't drink and I work hard to provide for my family. Bless God, we go to church. The place is Jesus. But can I tell you what your primary thing is too? Be not just hearers of the word, but doers. And if you're not doing the word of God, dads, can I tell you? You're creating disobedience in your wife and your kids all the way down. Now, wait a minute, wait. Kids are going, yeah, I got an out now. Dad's disobedient, so I can be disobedient. Mom's like, dad is. No. Nobody can blame somebody else. I'm telling you how it works, but you can't blame someone else. You are accountable for God individually. And at no point did God say everyone would be doing it right. No, he never said that, but he said this. We have to obey. And I'm looking at the story and what it's all doing. He's saying, I have performed. I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. And the man of God saying, no, you haven't. It's clear. I mean, anybody can judge this. It doesn't take a rocket science. There's bleeding of the sheep. Bah. There's a king standing here. You didn't do what you were told. And he's defending himself. And I watch over and over. His families are like, no, but we are doing right. And I am doing good. And I am right. And it's like we're totally disobedient. And God says, I'd rather you obey than bring your sacrifice. And then he says one other thing. Take a look at it. So dad's got to obey the preacher, the government. Mom's got to obey the head of the family. Children have to obey both. Then he says in verse 23, for rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Punishment in the word of God for witchcraft was death. I'm not saying this. This is God. He says, here's how I see this. God says, when you rebel against any authority, again, Romans 13, all authority is set up by God. You teach others to rebel against authority. He outlines what the authorities are. You rebel against our government, the pastor, the parents. It doesn't matter. When you do that, God says, for rebellion is as, it's as equal to God as witchcraft. Because he says the seed of rebellion is Satan. I don't want to confuse anybody. Can you love God, be saved, and be rebellious? Happens all the time. I'm not questioning our salvation. But I'm saying I think we've gotten messed up in our priorities. And I think we're in a generation. Now, I've heard all. Well, Christianity used to be authoritative. They'd boss us around, tell us what to do. God's pretty good at dealing with stuff like that. And that's not your place to judge or do anything about. God will take care of that. He's pretty good at that because he's the head boss. We have one responsibility, follow. It's like the janitor. Glad you got a clean one. Woo-hoo! Glad you got behind the doors. Good job. Great dusting. Did you get the bathrooms? Well, did you get trash? What? Isn't that what I primarily told you to do? Well, yeah, but. Children obey. Well, yeah, but our parents don't always go to church. And they don't always do everything we think is right. And they smoke and drink sometimes. Do I have to listen to them? Yep. Well, my husband, he's inconsistent. He's not always faithful in what he's supposed to do. He's just kind of up and down. Do I? Yep. Well, yeah, I know, preacher, what you said there, and I know what God said there, but come on, we're not perfect. You want me to listen to what everything the Bible says? Yep. If we're going to be right with God. Because the primary thing was this. Obedience. If you love me, John says, keep my commandments. And if you can't obey, he says it's like witchcraft. And stubbornness is like idolatry. Like you're worshiping another god. So if you want to measure Christianity, I didn't say your salvation, Christianity, it starts here. How good am I at following? How good am I at following? When authority says something I don't like, when authority brings something down, oh, sometimes I don't like it, but do I go ahead and say, you know what? Yep. Why? Because I'm obeying because my God who saved me told me to. Because that's the right thing. So here's our measuring stick today. How well do we obey? And can I help you real quick? You're probably not the right judge. Because we would ask Saul, what'd he say? I'm doing everything right. Why don't we ask the people around us and not the ones we want to ask? Yeah. You might want to ask her. Yeah, he's like, no way. You see what I'm saying? No, we always judge ourselves better. Bible says, let another man praise thee except thyself. Why? Because I like myself. It's kind of saying judging in this area. In fact, judging in this area, he thought I was totally right. Even when I read it, the man of God's looking at him saying, you have totally blown it. He still defended himself to the end and lost his family. Here's my fear. My fear is we become so enamored with form and doing the easy things, some of the detailed things. And we make sure we read our Bible and have our daily devotion. And we pray and come to church and we tithe. When it comes to the things that really matter, the weightier things. Kind of put those aside. Don't have to do that. We even argue it. Say, preacher's not interpreting Scripture right. That's always one of my favorite. We do whatever we can to get away from it. And I challenge you today, as a church, that we would do this. We'd recognize deception is real. We realize disobedience is always a principle of Satan. And if there's any area of our life, no matter what somebody else is doing that is not obedient, we ought to be before our God saying, oh, God, forgive me and restore me before it's too late. That is when God steps in. Let's stand. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for your word. Lord, I know a strong message, but Lord, such truth. We have a tendency to judge ourselves by our own standards instead of yours. We get caught up with the deception of this world and inundated with listening to what we want to hear instead of what the Word of God says. Lord, you know we're not targeting anybody. This is the next chapter in the Word of God. And Lord, we'll finish up some more tonight as we finish the rest of the chapter. But Lord, I pray for our church, for all of us, Lord. Lord, help us to be able to see more clearly and not to be deceived by the things of this world. It's a danger for all of us, from the preacher on down, Lord, that we can be caught up in deception. But Lord, what I'm really concerned about, because of that deception, Lord, is the disobedience that it causes us. And how we could totally ignore counsel, totally ignore argue away clear biblical principle to fit our situation. And think we're totally right, even though we've been shown we're wrong. Time and time again, we've seen this, Lord. Breaks my heart every time. But Lord, for these good people that love you, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd work in each of our hearts, that we'd bow before you, Lord. And even if there's some small area of our life that we've not been obedient in, there's an authority that we're having trouble following. A husband, a parent, a preacher, our boss. That, Lord, we'd stop and recognize, Lord, I need to change before it's too late. Help us to come before you, Lord. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, for our rebellion, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If the Lord's spoken to you, I challenge you to come. God is a great God. When we humble ourselves before him, he listens. He does. And I'm a firm believer if we catch it early, we don't let things just linger, that, God can heal. I think all Saul had to say here is, you're right. I have sinned. Sin. We have a different scenario. Different scenario. That's all he says. So if God's spoken to you, I challenge you to come as we sing.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have the opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. If you desire further information about the hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ, please visit our website at cbcponca.org.